Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Changed in our world lately.
疫情中，这么多人失去生命，显明了生命的脆弱与短暂。
Pero la asombrosa gracia y amor de Jesús es más fuerte que la vida y la muerte.
Wo auch immer du bist, ruf seinen Namen an. Jesus.
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 Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus.
What a way to start a service. Ah, I love that. I so love that. I've actually got tears in my eyes. Wasn't that fabulous? Absolutely fabulous. Good morning, everybody. It's great to have you with us. But wasn't that a lovely reminder of the fact that we're not on our own. We are part of a global family.And Richard and I sort of registered, you know, some of the faces were blacked out, were fuzzed up, because they're going through hard times and they cannot own the name of Jesus where they are. You know, we are in a difficult place, but we are so blessed in so many ways. And And I hope that we'll remember that as we spend this time together, that we'll be thinking of our brothers and sisters right across the world. We are in a global village, a worldwide church, which Jesus has done. So it's God's amazing grace is there for us all, every single one of us, whatever it is we're facing. Great reminder. So a really warm welcome to you today, wherever you are, and wherever you are in the world. If you are watching us from somewhere in one of those places which we've just seen on the video, a special welcome to you. And if this is your first time, part of our live stream, or even if you're listening to us on the phone, it's great to have you all with us. So thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you feel, even though we're virtually distanced, that we are together. We are family. And that's so, so important. So let's just take that thought and all that which we've been stirred with. Let's bring it to God. So let's pray. Father, thank you that we are not alone. Thank you that because of the way you've created this world and you've created humanity, Lord, we have brothers and sisters. We have friends of Christ right across this globe who can also sing those wonderful words of amazing grace. So Lord, help us, I pray today, as we spend this time before you, may you impress upon our hearts that we are loved, that we are special, that we are unique, and that, Lord, you are here with us. So we give you this time, and we pray for your presence with us. So bless each and every one of us, we ask, in Jesus' lovely and powerful name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Cool. First, a few notices, if I could. We have got communion today. And therefore, if you have forgotten to not get a piece of bread or a cracker or some fruit juice or even a glass of wine, not too much, anyway, then this is your moment, well, in a moment, but at some point, if you can do that, then you'll be able to enter in with us a bit later. When we are usually meeting as Emmanuel, this is a Sunday as well when we can think about others, as we've already done, but those in need. So this is just a little gentle reminder about our Agape Fund, and there are ways in which you can give to that, either through the church letterbox or directly through the bank account. But just a reminder, there are people who are in need. Let's remember to give. This coming Wednesday, part of our live streaming, we have worship on Wednesday. It's coming back this week. And there will be other online messages. And in fact, if you've missed some of those, then you might want to catch up. And all the videos are there. You can go back the last 11 weeks. It's 11 weeks, folks. Can you remember that? Oh. Next Sunday will be our 12th. And we're at 10 o'clock here, the same. But we're taking a slightly different emphasis this time, in that we're going to share more about our faith in Jesus and what it means for us. So it's going to be really for those who are in a place of searching. So if you are thinking about faith, you're thinking about Jesus, then I just want to encourage you, tune in next week. We're going to share something of why we believe what we believe and the difference it makes to us. So it'll have a slightly different emphasis next week. And then after that, we're going to do something a bit different to that as well. And that is, the details will all come out next week. But we're going to have a Zoom opportunity. And if you have any questions which you might want to ask about faith and about this Jesus whom we love, then I'm going to be on Zoom and I'm prepared to answer anything. Well, I'm going to have a shot at it. I probably won't be able to. But all will be explained next week. So if you are a regular churchgoer, you know Jesus already, perhaps you might think even now about who you could invite to join in, to tune in, and to be a part of that which we're going to be doing next week. So that's an encouragement, if I could. After the service today, we're having another coffee time, and which went really well last week for the first time, seeing some of our friends who we've not seen for a few weeks. It was brilliant. But you do have to register, I'm afraid. The information has gone out, and you need to register. So if you can do that with Fee, that would be brilliant. But please do engage with us, stay connected, and the coffee time one is a great opportunity for all that. Okay, less of me, done of notices. I'm going to hand over to the very tall, very mighty Rich. He's going to lead us in some in a kids' spot and a song.
Hello and good morning, everybody. It's so good to be with you, wherever you're watching, whether you're in the living room or wherever your devices are. Maybe you've even gone into the garden, although the weather isn't too nice. I'm not going to be going in the garden today because of that fact, but I've brought in something to show you, and this is something very special, which some of you older ones might recognise straight away, and some of you younger ones might, because I think television's changed a little bit since I was little. But this here, for those of you who can see it, is my, let the camera focus on it, my Blue Peter badge. Now, some of you will know Blue Peter. Here's one I made earlier, and some of you will still be watching it on CBBC, but because channels have changed now on television, some of you won't quite remember. But Blue Peter is a children's television show where they do all kinds of different things. They show you how to make things. I can remember all my friends trying to make Thunderbird's Tracy Island when they showed parents how to do it on the cheap with yogurt pots and poster paint rather than spending 125 quid on a vacuum molded piece of plastic. But Blue Peter, they used to go and they'd show you bits of science, they'd show you how to make things, they'd show you information and history. And you could get a Blue Peter badge if you, as a young person or a kid, did something extraordinary. And what these Blue Peter badges did was amazing. They gave you free access to museums, zoos, theme parks, all kinds of places. If you had a Blue Peter badge and you turned up to lots and lots of tourist attractions in the UK, you could get in for free. And I wanted a Blue Peter badge because my favourite place in the world growing up was London Zoo. I was really into animals and nature, and I still am. And London Zoo, when we lived in Enfield, which is in north London, was just the best place in the world to go. My favourite was the gorillas and the big statue of Guy the Gorilla there. And I thought, if I could get a Blue Peter badge, then my skint Scottish parents would have no excuse but to take me to London Zoo. Now, this is the interesting thing. Lots of people got Blue Peter badges for doing experiments, for making films, for doing all kinds of things. And actually, I got my Blue Peter badge not because I did something, but because somebody else did. Okay. And I want to tell you about my great-great-aunt Hope. So that's my granddad's auntie. My great-great-aunt Hope, okay, who lived to be over 100. And when I was little, we went to visit her in a nursing home in Scotland once as a family because she was going to be 100 years old. And me and my little brother Phil were terrified of her because to a 6- and 7-year-old, or maybe even younger, was this tiny, frail, skeletal lady with a shock of white hair who didn't say much. And I think me and my little brother thought she was a witch. We weren't really sure of her, but we got to know her and she was lovely. She was absolutely lovely. So don't be afraid of old people. Okay, but my great-great-aunt Hope, she dated a man called John Logie Baird. Now, some of you might know this and some of you might not, that John Logie Baird was the Scotsman who invented the television. Absolutely incredible. One more wonderful thing that Scotland have given us. that and double glazed windows so kids can't hear ice cream trucks. But John Logie Baird invented the television. And he was courting, which is an old-fashioned word for dating, my great-great-aunt Hope. But her mum and dad said, there's no way you're marrying that man because his head's full of wires and he'll never come to anything. And he's the man who invented the television. Isn't that amazing? So they made a judgment. They wouldn't let their daughter go out with or marry this man because they thought he was a wild man. His head was full of wires and nonsense. He was all about inventing things and he'd never be able to provide for her or look after her. And even though he did invent the television, he didn't make money out of it because some other rival companies managed to make a fortune on it instead. But Blue Peter did an episode on the television and I wrote a letter telling that story, and they sent me a Blue Peter badge, okay, which meant I could get into wonderful places for free. Now, I didn't do anything, Okay, I didn't invent the television. I certainly didn't date anyone inventing the television, but my family members did. And because someone else did something, I got this badge, which let me go into places I wanted to go for free. Okay, I was given access to wonderful places and adventures because of something someone else had done. And this Blue Peter badge speaks to me of Jesus, because he gives us access to wonderful places. He gives us access to heaven. He gives us a way to talk to God. He lets us know him by the Spirit. He's there when we need him. And it doesn't cost us anything because he's done everything for us. Now, the interesting thing about Blue Peter badges is actually when people like me started to grow up, they started putting them on eBay and selling them to other families. So people were making a fortune trying to sell their Blue Peter badges so that other people could get into sites for free. And Blue Peter said, no, you can't do that anymore. You need a letter of authenticity to go with your badge. But that just shows how precious they are, that people are willing to pay for them in order to get into places. And actually, Jesus is so precious. He's so wonderful. And he gives us access. We serve a great big God. We serve a wonderful God. And I'm just going to put the screen down a couple, and we're going to sing a couple of songs now in worship. Oh, Mark, my very capable assistant, is running to my aid. So hopefully the words will just come up here now. Okay. Oh, that's it. Yeah, next one. Perfect. That's really good. Okay. And we're going to sing about our great big God, and then we're going to go into a couple of other songs which just speak about how good it is to know Jesus. Okay. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. He's higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. And he's known me and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Just the mums. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. All you fellas, here we go. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Just the children in your house, come on. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Everybody, here we go. He's higher than the skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. And he loved me and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. holds us in his hand. Really loud. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And he holds us in his hand. Shake and crumble at your name. The oceans roar and tumble at your name. The angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry.
Endless praise, endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. conqueror.
Is united by an enemy. A virus that is stealing lives and spreading fear. For years to come, we will be remembered for how we responded. For staying home and protecting our communities. And also for loving our global neighbours. We will be remembered for praying, for giving, to help them respond. In Afghanistan, Nepal, Mozambique, Sri Lanka, Chad, Albania, and across the globe, for feeding the hungry, for counselling the sick, for providing protective equipment on the front lines, for helping to stop the spread. Remembered for being united, together. Remembered for standing in solidarity. The world is hurting, and we can help. BMS World Mission is responding to the coronavirus pandemic. We're helping to coordinate the global Baptist response, and we're doing it now. In the name of Jesus. You can be a part of it. You can stand in solidarity with people around the world fighting coronavirus and feeling its effects. You can look back on this time and know that you did everything in your power to help. You can respond today.
Thanks, Rich, for the worship. But yet another reminder this morning, the fact that we have global neighbours. This would normally be our world mission sort of reminder that we're not alone. But I think we've had quite a shot of that this morning with the Amazing Grace video and now that one. You know, we are living in this global family as a church, and we need to remember. And of course, in this country, we are fairly well able to deal with this virus. Other places aren't, and they're struggling, and they haven't got the infrastructure within their society to be able to handle it into their culture. So we need to be remembering those fellow believers who are struggling around our world, not just physically with the virus, but of course the effects of the virus. But it does go a lot further afield than that. And of course, it's not just the virus at the moment. And we're going to spend a short time in prayer where we can just reflect on some of the stuff which is going on in our world. It's going to be a time of personal prayer and reflection, and it's just I'm going to give you a few topics, and then we're going to be just having a little bit of space, a bit of time, and then I'll draw it together. So I will speak out a few items over the next few minutes, and I just want us to lift these things to God. I'm not going to have a major length of time to be able to spend long time praying into it, but with the fact that we are all family and we're all over the place, then it does give us that chance, that opportunity to bring our prayers, and let's make a cacophony of sound, as it were, to God as we bring these things to him. So let's pray. And let's remember that we are part of the family and we have a loving Father who wants to hear our prayers. So firstly, the world is all disturbed and protesting at the moment in the light of the George Floyd's death. It's affected the whole world and the black communities around the world are disturbed, and quite rightly, as they protest against the police and institutional discrimination. It's a difficult time, and even in our own nation, we've had those protests yesterday. It's disturbed us deep down, the very roots of our being. Let's pray for George Floyd's family and friends. Let's also pray that God would intervene. As people protest and shout out, you know, Black Lives Matter, as they are looking for justice, let's pray for God's intervention, that he might touch hearts, that he will bring change within humanity, within institutions and within governments. So let's just take a few minutes now just to bring this whole situation and our world, our disturbed world, to God. We could just join together and say, Lord, hear our prayers. Mm. So, Lord, hear our prayers. And that short video, as well as our own nation, of course, we continue to fight this pandemic. It is global. It's right across our world. And global communities are being touched by this. And it's still spreading. We might be into a sense of lockdown and things lifting, but in some parts of the world, it's still very much at the peak, thinking about Brazil and South America in particular, but in other nations too. We need to pray for God's presence to continue to be with us all, with the whole of humanity, really, as we struggle to handle this whole virus. Let's pray for recovery, for health, for people, for families, those who've been bereaved. Let's pray for wisdom for the way forward for governments and for the choices and the laws they make in lifting the lockdown, the guidelines. And let's pray for the research for a vaccine, for that discovery. And that politicians really will make right decisions driven by the needs of human beings rather than by politics. And of course, there is going to be the economic effects of this. So this is a major, major change in our world, isn't it? So let's bring this whole pandemic and its effects in every sort of different spheres. Let's bring those things to God too. So let's pray. Let's say it together. Lord, hear our prayers. And then there may be specific things which you'd like to bring to God, and this is an opportunity where we can do this corporately. There'll be other things going on. I mean, there are other effects of the virus. There's mental health. There's all sorts of things. And of course, the world goes on in other ways. So there's the things like the weather. There was a cyclone which hit India this week. And there's lots and lots of things. You might think of individuals who you know who are going through a hard time and difficulties at the moment. Well, let's bring them to God too. So this is a sort of a time of openness, really, where we anything which God's laid on our hearts, we can bring to him. So let's pray. So, Father, we know that you hear our prayers, and we thank you, O God, that you understand all of our circumstances. But, Lord, this whole season at the moment shows how weak and frail humanity really is on all sorts of levels. Lord, the brokenness of society reflects the brokenness of humanity. Lord, I just want to pray that you would turned your face towards us, Lord, you would look to us in with your grace and your mercy, that Lord, you would touch this world. Thank you that there are positive signs, there are good things coming out of that which we've been facing in previous weeks and months. But Lord, we know there's still so much need. Our world needs the touch of God and the life of God and the love of God to touch the human beings who make up our world. So Lord, we take this opportunity, as brief as it's been, but Lord, we look to you and we ask, O God, you would hear our prayers truly, and that Lord, you would see our hearts, and that Lord God, you would step in and bring change. Lord, we bring all these, we gather all the silent prayers as well as the spoken prayers, and we bring them to you, to the foot of the cross, to the throne room of Christ. Thank you that you hear us, O God, and that you are the God of all power, and you can step in and intervene and act. So we pray, O God, that through Jesus' name you will do that. We ask these this, all this in the name of that lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you for being a part of that. That's really good. Rich, back to you, my friend.
As we draw close to the time where we're going to be sharing communion together, we're just going to have a couple of more reflective songs. Just to help us remember who Jesus is, why this matters, what God's done for us.
Okay, as we come to communion, and that's just a reminder, by the way, for you to go and find your bread and your wine. What I'd like us to do as we do that, we need the PowerPoint on the screen, Rich. Okay, oh, is there? Over there. I'd like to read you some words from the book of Hebrews, which, as the title indicates, if you don't know much about the book, this was written to a mainly Jewish audience, and was written to show that there's a way, a new way, in fact, that the believers should be thinking and acting now as Christ followers, having had the background and the tradition of the Jewish way of being, but God was wanting to do something new. And the writer does this, and he does it by drawing comparisons between the old and the new covenants. In other words, the Mosaic laws and all its rituals under the old covenant, with the new one which Christ established, which he then goes on to say, and quite clearly, is far, far superior and more effective than the old system of the sacrifices of animals and the shedding of blood, etc. And so, what I'd like us to do in looking at this passage in Hebrews, I'd like us just to take just a few verses. And it comes from chapter 10, and verses 19 through to 23. So, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living, life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. It's great stuff, isn't it? And it's a great book, the book of Hebrews. If you've never read it yet, I know it looks a bit daunting and it does take a bit of hard work to push through, but I really would encourage you. It gives us such a substance to our faith and helps us to understand where God and what Christ has done, and from that old traditional Jewish law to what God has done now through Christ. So it's really important. And that, in fact, is exactly what this passage, which we've just read, summarises. It highlights that, laying out what I think is a significant role now for Christ. And it's interesting, as Rich used this same phrase a few minutes ago about access to God. He used it when he was talking about his Blue Peter badge. And it's that freedom of access which Christ has won for us. Yet it was without law, and it is having to make all those sacrifices through our sacrifice of animals, or the shedding of blood, and those sacrifices for sin. What happened? Christ dealt with it. He took it all. He replaced it in totality. He fulfilled the law and all of God's requirements, because that's what God had given in order that humanity could come anywhere near God. And so when Christ took it all on, he fulfilled all of the law and released so much more of the life of God, which the Father wanted each and every human being to share in. So because of Christ, it means that we can freely enter into God's presence, into the very living relationship which Christ has. Do you know, that is such a miracle, and it's so incredible, and we need to remind ourselves. Hallelujah! Do I hear a hallelujah with you? This is essential background for that which we're going to be partaking now with the bread and the wine. It's essential. It actually brings a fresh understanding and a new power, I would say, and meaning to that which we're going to share. When we take the simple bread and wine, when we share that together, the sacrifice and the shedding of blood makes it so much more powerful. So before we take communion, I'd just like us to take a moment, if we could, just in silence, just to reflect on those things which we know if this affects the state of our heart, the negative things, the things which have come in the way between us and God. We need to bring those to God. So the things which we've thought, the things, the words that we've said, attitudes of our hearts, things which we know have been wrong, let's bring them to the Lord and ask for his cleansing. So let's take a moment to do that in the silence now. And therefore, since we have what Christ has done, it means that when we confess, then we know that Christ will cleanse us. So we're going to say a prayer of confession together. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you, the sins of the past and of the present, those hidden and forgotten, as well as those remembered. My sins of thought and desire, of word, of deed, and of omission. The sins that I am too dull of heart to see. And the sins that others can see and I cannot. The sins known to you alone. I am sorry for all of them. I ask you to forgive me through the merit of Jesus my Saviour. Please renew your life in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, my encouragement is come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. That invitation is obviously to us all. Just putting some hand gel on, making sure that I don't infect poor Rich. But this is the bread. This is the wine. And this is that new covenant symbolised through what Christ has done for us. It's powerful. It's strong. So I'd like you to take your bread, if you would. And I'd like you to take it in hand, or your cracker, and I'd like you to break it. Break it open. And let's remember the significance of the sacrifice of Christ as we do. This was what Christ died for. This is what the level of his sacrifice for you and for me, to take away our sin. So, Lord God, we want to thank you for the simplicity of merely a bread or a cracker, but Lord, thank you that it's that sign which you left and gave to each and every one of us, of reminding us of the level and the depth of your love for humanity. Lord, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you gave to us. Thank you, Jesus, for the immense love which you poured out on the cross. We are grateful. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's take some bread and let's share the sacrifice of God together.
as we pour out the wine to you. It reminds us that Christ's blood was poured out, a sign of his love, of his forgiveness, and of his blood cleansing us. Christ's sacrifice through the simplicity of wine. Let's pray. So thank you, God, that the cleansing which you bring for us through the blood of Christ is so deep and so rich. So Father God, I pray that as we drink this wine now, we will be filled with thanksgiving. May it well up from deep within us. May the life of God deep within us well up in praise and worship, thanking you for all that you have given to each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, God, for all this new life which is ours in Christ, which this blood, this wine, in one sense symbolizing that blood, is the seal of that new covenant. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's drink with grateful hearts. So Father, thank you. Thank you for the simplicity of this feast. And even though we can't share it together in the same place, in the same room, thank you that by your Spirit we are one and we are united with you in this. So thank you, God. Thank you that communion is so simple but yet so profound at the same time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'd like just a moment or two to think a little bit more and pick up more particularly a little bit later in that chapter 10 of Hebrews. And it builds in one sense on the wonder of that new covenant which we've been thinking about. And the writer then shares some verses which are lovely. And they are there to encourage his fellow believers. And those who are reading, and of course that's you and me too. So this is God's word, not just for them, back then, but for us today. And they're very simple words, but I think there are some powerful things which God wants us to take away from today. And they're in verse 35 and 36 of chapter 10. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. That's all it is. But I tell you, those three phrases, there are three phrases in there, which I believe God wants us to take to heart and to be encouraged with today, which I hope will lift your spirit, and especially in the light of this current situation which we're all in. And if you like, and you forgive me this is a preacher's license, they're a form of CPR. CPR is used obviously when someone's heart stopped and it's that first aid, and you have to, you know, you're thumping someone's heart to get them to get the heart beating again. And it brings life back. And in one sense, I think these three phases, which I'm going to spell out to you in a moment, these three phrases actually encourage us and can keep us alive when actually we are struggling and we're going through difficult times. And here they are. Confident trust, patient endurance, and receiving the promises. CPR. Confident trust, patient endurance, receiving the promises. So, when life gets tough, when life gets hard, and we're feeling crushed, we don't and it's hard, and we don't want to go through it. When you're struggling to maintain your faith, or to stay obedient to God's word, or you're wanting to give up, when God and his promises seem far too far away, and you think, I'll never attain that. I'm such a failure. And when there are those around you who just can't accept your faith, those who are struggling and don't understand that there's a need for a new way of being, because that was very much the situation in the book of Hebrews, that there is a new way in Jesus, but some didn't accept that. All of these things are a reminder that God wants to build us up and to stay faithful and to see God do his work and not to throw it away. This is the reminder. In one sense, he's saying, do some CPR on yourself. Don't let the circumstances, the way you're feeling, the things which you're having to deal with, don't let it steal away your faith. But rather, do some CPR. Put your gaze back upon God, onto Jesus. Remind yourself of all that he's given and on what you have in Christ. Don't throw it away. Don't walk away. There's so much more to lose and much more to gain. So have confident trust that God is there. Pray and ask that for that patient endurance. And let's step out and receive in faith the promises. Let's claim them. That which Christ has taught and won for us, let's claim those for ourselves. In more colloquial terms, it's hang in there. Stick with it. Remain faithful. Keep looking to God and to God alone. You won't find that help, that hope and that help in things of the world. It just won't happen. But in Christ and in what Christ has promised, you can and you will. He will be there for us. He'll fulfil his promises and his purposes for in you and through you and that which he wants to do. So, CPR, confident trust, patient endurance, and receiving the promises. So what I'd like to do, just in closing, is to pray those things over us. And let's receive them. And I'm going to pray using those verses, actually, as a grace. So let's pray, shall we? So, Lord, help us, I pray, not to throw away that confident trust in you. No matter how we may feel, no matter what circumstances are in front of us and we're going through, help us to remember the great reward it brings us if we remain faithful with our eyes fixed upon you, Jesus. Grant us patient endurance, Lord, a steadfast spirit, so that we can get through the nows that we face today, as well as the unknowns of tomorrow. Help us to keep looking to you, so that we'll continue to do your will and walk your path. Then as we do, help us to step into and to look to receive all that you have given to each and every one of us, all that you have promised us in Christ and through Christ. And to live in that fullness of your life, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, working and lifting us and bringing that life of Christ to a reality within us. Lord, we pray all these things in and through that powerful and precious name of Jesus, the one who sealed that new covenant in our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Rich, back to you, my friend.
just going to finish with a song which just speaks about exactly who our God is and how wonderful he is and our right response to that. So just as we finish up, and then we'll have the words of the grace, we're going to sing about God's grace to us. Is enough, more than I need. At your word I will believe. I'll wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will our service, and as some of us go back to a working week, others of us staying at home and isolating, God, help us to worship you in spirit and truth, whether we are locked down or going out and meeting and seeing other people. So help us to be your light in this world. Help us to shine bright for you. Amen. We're going to have the grace shared with us, and Mike and Joy have prepared that for us. I'm going to hand over to them now.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.